Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity once again, Lord, to gather ourselves in the house of the Lord as a people of God, as a family of God. We thank you, Lord, for this fine day too. And this morning, we are approaching you, Lord, as to the understanding of why water baptism, and that our sister King Chu and her son Yin Fan getting baptized today. And we are thankful, Lord, for your working in their life and drawing them, Lord, to you, calling them back to you. We are grateful, Lord, for the work that you've done in their life, truly. And we all appreciate, too, Lord, what you have done also in our own personal life, each and every one of us, the reality of the grace and the mercy of God, and to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom only is eternal life. We commit this time now, Father, to the understanding of the word, a little bit of the understanding for those that already know, but that we may further, Lord God, be edified and to recollect and to bring things to our remembrance, Lord. So we ask that you now be in the presence of our soul and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to John chapter 14, verse 15. We have a lot of verses to read, so you can turn your Bible as quickly as you can. Many of the verses are self-explanatory. And now, there are different types. When you talk about baptism, baptism means a immersion. Baptism means going through an immersion. Alright? In the days of the of Noah, they went through a baptism of water when they were on the ark. They went through an immersion, that is, through that rough turbulence of the flood that came upon the earth. And so even Moses and his people, they went to a baptism of fire, or even as through the baptism of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Because they went through a time of moving from one state of their being to another, from one condition to another. So now there are different types of water baptism, because in the church today, you have baptism, like infant baptism, which of course the Bible does not teach such a doctrine, because a baptism is a baptism that you need to confess, something that you know what it is all about. A baby doesn't know anything about water baptism, what it is all about. So we don't have infant baptism. And then again, baptism, they have baptism for the dead, some of this denomination. And then there you have baptism by sprinkling and baptism by pouring, all this different kind of baptism. But basically the word baptism came from the word baptizo, which means to say immersion. Okay. If it is not, a person is not immersed, it is not baptism. Alright, theologians were always trying to make convenient for the people. Don't get wet, you don't have to get all wet. Alright, all you have to do is just throw a few drops of water in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and you are baptized. But if we don't do according to the word of the Lord, the way it is commanded us to do, then the significance of baptism is lost. God bring about all these type of patterns and shadows was to show us the love of God in Christ Jesus for us. Why did Jesus shed blood? And the reason why he shed blood was because of what was commanded in the Old Testament to the children of Israel, that they must offer sacrifice of blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's why Jesus can have to fulfill by shedding blood. He could have just died on the cross, or somebody hit him on the head and he just died. But why must without one drop of blood spill, then there's no significance. But Bible said he poured out his blood. And just like when you sacrifice a sheep, you drain all the blood out from his body. You see? So that is the reason why when the Bible says certain things, we need to fulfill according to the pattern that was shown to us, that was shown to the prophets of old. You see the significance of all of these things. So now, the importance of baptism. Why water baptism? John chapter 14 verse 15 says here, "For I have given you an example." Verse 14, chapter 14 verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. The commandments is not just about the Ten Commandments. Commandment means, if you love me, keep my words.
What I say, you do.
You see, if we are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we have to obey. Because being a disciple, a master says certain things, we need to obey. If you ever go and learn Kung Fu, Wushu, whatever you want to learn, and you have a master who is teaching you this is the way to move. Now you know, he said, no, I don't want to move this way, I want to move this way. No, you are not learning. Now how can he as a master will not take you as a disciple? Because you think that you know better than him. Then you don't need someone to teach you. So if Jesus said, water baptism by immersion, he says, no, that is unnecessary. I will do it this other way. Then you can't be Christ's disciple. That's the reason why, if you love me, keep my commandment. And that's the reason why, one thing about this, here we are today, brother and sister, we're not just call ourselves Christian. We are Bible believers. We must be Bible believers. Christian is just a name tag, which was given to, of course, the early believers in those days, and they are really truthfully one who follow Christ. But today, Christian can mean anything. A Methodist, a Catholic, a Lutheran, an Episcopalian, and whatever you have. You see? You understand what I'm saying? That don't mean anything. When we say we are clear, we want to be Bible believer. One who says what the Bible teaches, let us do it. You see, if you love me, you keep my commandment. You see, it's just as simple as that. You don't need any interpretation beyond that. If you love me, keep my commandment. You don't have to read between the lines, whatever. That's just plain, simple commandment. Alright, so now, the principle here in the Bible, of course, there are guiding principles for us to believe. For what we believe in. And for our daily living as a life of Christ to the glory of God. You see? So this Bible is the principle or doctrines of Christ. It contains that. And it gives us history. It gives us a look into the life of the people of God in their failure, their success, you see, and their disobedience and their obedience, and how God dealt with them. And if you look into the Bible, that all this, but as the Bible said, they were all written for our admonition. You understand that? So that we can see what happened before and we will not do all those mistakes. For our own edification, to walk in the light of God's Word. That's how important it is in the Word of God for us. Alright, this is the roadmap as we sing it. Okay, now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Let me ask this question now, you look into these three verses. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Here everything is about one. One body. And we are the body of Christ. We are talking here is about the one body. Okay? Now, I want to say this, that considering that I was called to officiate the burial of a Christian of a man who confessed Christ in his deathbed. That's one thing I would do, to bury the man, because he has no pastor to begin with. He has never been to a church. He was like a thief on the cross. But here we have a problem, as I say this. There are Christians that do not have a pastor, because they themselves are their own pastor. They stay home, they listen to the tips of Brother Branham, or they have a church that they don't have a pastor. Listen to the tip of Brother Branham on Sunday, weekday, they listen to some other tips. If somebody died, who is going to officiate them? And how we say this, I said this, that if I'm called upon by any of these other groups to call and officiate them, I wouldn't do it, because they are not my sheep. Because God put in the church pastors to oversee the sheep. God put the sheep into the hand of those ministers whom God set in the church. You understand that? So if, you know, you don't have a pastor, then who's going to marry you? I said this before. If you don't have a pastor, who is going to baptize you? You baptize yourself, ask somebody else to baptize you. If you want to do that, go ahead. So if you die, who's going to bury you? Get a brother bury you? Or say someone, no, I just die anywhere I want to. It's okay. Then you see one problem is that you don't honor God. There's no honoring of God. There's no respect to God. We do whatever we want according to what we fancy. That's not right. You understand that? So the same thing here, while we talk about here, one body, it is not a fragmented body. But the problem is that people are fragmented because they are not grounded in the Word, they are not Word-centered. If you are not Word-centered, that's why we have denomination. They'll come and say, no, this is what we do. We are Methodists, this is what we do. We are Methodists. And now you say, no, we are Presbyterian. That's the way we do it. We have elders. We don't believe in apostles or prophets. Because now Word-centered. And some of the Adventists, they want to keep the law. They want to keep Saturday as their Sabbath. But you know what? Christ is our Sabbath. If you find Christ, you already found your rest. You already found your Sabbath. It's not Sabbath on a particular day. It's Sabbath every day. Because why? I've already found my Sabbath in Christ. And in Christ, every day is a rest. It's not a particular 24-hour day. You see? So if you are not Word-centered, we don't know. And that's why, you know what Brother Abraham said, sometimes God sent those ministers to come teach you. And what we have today is the latter-day rain. There is the teaching ministry today to ground the people into the Word. Because why? God is already upset for so many generations of time. Because of what? Because of all the denominations. That's why He sent a message to call us back to the Word. Do you see that? To call us back to the Word so that God can begin to filter all the garbage that we have been taught. Oh, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, I'm sprinkling all these things. It's a fruit, it's an apple, it's this and that. It's a snake walking, moving around on his tail, jumping up and down. And suddenly God made him flat onto the ground, he crawled. You know. And all the imagination. And the Bible said, heaven and earth were passed away, but not my word. Is that right? Not one iota, no one tittle. You know, if you talk about God being strict, then if you read like this, you know it. If God said so, then how can we just have have such indifferent attitude? If you are ignorant, I understand. But now the Bible says, well, there was a time when God can look at your wink at your ignorance, you know. But now He commands to repent. And we need to come back to the Word and repent of our stupidity, grabbing all this strange doctrine that is floating around. Sitting in the car, I'm just sorry to hear the brothers talk about. So, Brother Gunn, you know something is going to happen. I believe something is going to happen. Brother Bram said so. And he said, you know, we don't see healing. We don't see miracles. Brother Bram said, the bride will do it. Every member, not just one person. Every member who is a bride will lay hand on the sick and they will recover. Pray for the bride and they will see. You know, in my head I was thinking, my oh my. All you understand is that you grab a statement of Brother Bram and you don't even know what he was saying. And you think that you know he was saying. Without understanding of the scripture of God. So what happened? You'll be still waiting for that day. To see this miracle. You know what? Over in Uganda. Especially out there in those jungle where Brother Joma came from. Miracles happen, healing happen. You know why? Because they have no connection with the outside world. Like we do have. But all that which we can get on the internet, and our relationship, and all the communication, and miracles, and all this other place, and this minister come here and there telling all these things, and people are confused. Schisms are being formed. But you know what over there in Uganda? They're all just themselves. And they recognize the ministry of Brother John Mark and some of the other apostles of God. And they see miracles and healing. Because they study the Word of God. They don't have pastor coming onto the pulpit and talk about Brother Bram said this. In the end, what do you know about the Word of God? The more that we know, we should go into it. But brother, he says, even in this fellowship, many of us fear even to enter into it. Yeah. Remember what I said about the Bible? I said, if there be any sick among you, let him call the elder and let him lay hands on you with the anointing oil and pray for him. Yet many of you don't even do that. He just said, I got a request. If you ever need a healing, the Bible said, James said that, act upon what the Lord said, through James. And don't wait and say, let me wait for one minister who had the gift of healing, then I'll go up there and let him pray for you. God will not even honor you on that. Because you're looking to man and not looking to his word. Do you understand? In not the Old Testament time, you know, while the whole nation of Israel scattered all over the big land, and all they have is the Lord. They don't have the Bible that we have today. They know once in a while God sent a prophet. Then they need something special. They want to hear from God. Because what they hear is only the law. They want to know, is there anything that God is doing today? Is there a prophet here who can do something for me? Then he got to seek for that prophet. Because the prophet was a man on that time as the oracles of God right there. But today we have this oracle here in written form. And yet, you know what? We don't know how to look at it. And you know, it takes every one of us individually. I can preach it, but you need to look into it and see the revelation. See, yeah, this is it. I'm going to act upon the way it should be. And God will honor it. You know, God will certainly honor it. Well, you know, some testimony in our fellowship on Friday or this, some of the brothers and sisters, you know, they act upon it and God will honor it. All it takes is to believe and see what the scripture says and follow it through. One body, one spirit, because God is only one spirit. Even as you are calling the one hope of your calling, there's only one hope, and that is the looking to the coming of the Lord. And when our redemption draws nigh, and we will be transformed and so on, we look to that blessed hope. And then he says here, one Lord. One faith, one baptism. One Lord. Who is this Lord? Who is this Lord? There is only one Lord. Not two. Or not three. Who is this one Lord? The Bible says one Lord. Who is this? Who is he referring to? God, or is he referring to the Son? He referred to the Son. In the Old Testament, you have Lord. Capital. All three words, three alphabets are capital. L-O-R-D. Or four. Alright, L-O-R-D, which is translated from Hebrew word Yahweh. Okay? So, in the Old Testament, Lord is always referring to the one who is El Shaddai. Because the Son is not manifest. In the New Testament, Yahweh became Yahshua, so now, the word Lord in the New Testament is always referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said unto my Lord, you understand? Now it says one Lord, one faith. Not two, three different kinds. What is your faith based on? Your faith based on the Word of God, based on what Jesus performed for us. Huh? The faith we always talk about is when we come together, let us hear the Word of God, let us talk about the Lord. We're not talking about Paul, James, John, we're not talking about Abraham or Luther and all these things about, you know, but it's just all about the Lord, the central theme of our life. The whole universe is revolved around this Lord, who is the Word. One faith, one baptism only. Now this baptism here, one baptism, not talking about baptism in water. Huh? This one's baptism is the baptism to put us into the body. Okay, there's one body, one spirit. It is by this one spirit that God moved into our life and bring us to Him, reconcile us to Him, and this by one Spirit we are then baptized into this one body. And then in this one body we realize that we came from the one Lord who gave us that one faith. You understand that? Huh? Thus we all have only one baptism, which is baptized into the body of Christ. One God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Alright, so we are only baptized, we can only be baptized once, spiritually. into the body of Christ. But then, of course, there must be an outward manifestation where you confess your faith and you show that you are being baptized into the body of Christ. You understand that? Alright, so now, I know, Sister King Chu, and when she first came, and there was one time, I don't know how many years, maybe 2 years ago, she said she wanted to be baptized, I think about 2 years ago. And then she changed her mind. But of course, there was something that she's trying to deal with. And I was just kind of wondering, oh my, don't wait too long. Because you don't want to be like a dying thief on the cross. Alright, now we always say this one thing, which is a good statement that I always use. There are Christians, they say, well, you know, I don't want to be baptized in the dying thief. He wasn't baptized. And I always told them this. See, he's a dying thief, but you are a living thief. That's true. You know, he's a dying thief, but you are a living thief. You see? And that's not the way to go about it. So we need to do what we need to do, okay? Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. Yeah, we are well acquainted with Acts chapter 2. You see, here on the day of Pentecost, they were gathered up there in the around the temple, you know, to keep the feast. And the Holy Ghost came upon the disciples there, and they started speaking in tongue, and people wondering what's going on, and they gather around and hear the different disciples speaking in unknown tongue, and then those that who doesn't know the language call that unknown tongue, but those who heard the language and understood it to them, it was a known tongue. Okay? And a known tongue from where they came from, maybe they are from Persia, alright, or somewhere else, and heard this Jew heard them spoke the language where they resided in the land that they resided. So they were amazed. So they heard that they were talking about the Lord Jesus, and they were actually hearing the gospel preached to them in their language. So then they got up and they said, what must we do to be saved? In chapter 2, and here over in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So here is this very simple fact. Three things we need to do as a believer. Now, many people just take John 3:16. I know the evangelists go out there to preach. They always use John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, this is a simple, straightforward gospel. But when man and woman come forward to receive the Savior, they need to be counseled and go further to the understanding of what belief is all about. Now the word believe in John 3:16, believe, is from the Greek word pistio, which means to say it is a complete trust in the Lord. A complete surrender, put yourself into the hands of that Savior. Now, when we put ourselves in the hand of the Savior is going to tell you what to do. Obviously. So that's, why a lot of people say, I believe in Jesus. It is a mental faith up here. It's just, oh yes, oh Jesus, there is a man called Jesus. I know he died on the cross in Calvary, and the Bible said, if I believe in Him, I will be saved. Yes, I believe, Lord. And that's that. That's that. That's not what it is. You know, all they have is a head faith. Then they might go to church, as they like, go to that other church, as they like, wherever they want to go, and they are never, never in one place. And then he said, are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. What church do you go to? Well, you know, I'm interdenominational. They hear one Sunday, and there another Sunday. You know? They are not, they're just for a night. And you know, if you want to be taught, how can we be stable in the Word of God? How do we know what we are, who we are? If we are a family of God, we know that God is our Father. We need to know Him. He knows us. He wants to know us. But if we don't know Him the way that He wants us to know Him, I can tell you one thing, we don't even know our Father. Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. He knows His Father's business. Do you know your Father's business? What is God doing today? I don't know. You know? Do we need to know what God is doing? That's why Jesus said, watch and pray, watch and pray. Many places in the Bible, watch. What's the word say when pray? You see? In supplication, you know. By the Spirit leads you. If really are, you surrender to Him, that's what He's supposed to do. So what must we do to be saved? Peter said, three things you do. Repent, first thing you do. If you don't repent, then, yeah, Lord, I'm sorry, huh? I was a real bad guy, you know. I'm sorry. And then you go back and you do the same thing again. You know? Yeah. Lord, you know, I many times I curse and I swear and I use four-letter words and five-letter words and whatever words. That's very vulgar, you know. Lord, I'm sorry. And then after a week or two, you still do the same thing. You see, when you repent, you turn around. Okay? 180 degree, huh? Don't turn around one big circle and go back to the way you came. You're going. Repent means to make a turn around, not going the way you are going. You understand? They say, that's repent. And then be baptized. Second thing, that's what the Bible says. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or whatever it is. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, you know, we know, the Catholic, take Matthew 28:19, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Then the Branhamite came around, some extremists came around in the message, baptized in the name of the Lord William Branham. You know that that's happening? You see? And they pray and say grace over their food. They say, we know, they say, we thank the Lord God for this food in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, they say no. They say, we thank Lord Heavenly Father for this in the name of Lord William Branham. They do that. You see? They caught up with the religious spirit, and that's why I'm always afraid of. When I see people caught up in the religious spirit, you cannot break through. The more you want to talk about that, then they bring in all the religious spirit, you know. Oh my. That's what it is. And that's why Jesus don't even go and argue with the Pharisees or Sadducees. He never came 2,000 years ago and go and correct the doctrines of the Pharisees or the doctrine of the Sadducees. Right? But they came and challenged Him. You know, this religious spirit always on the test. And Jesus said, you are the father of the devil. Oh, no, we're not being born of fornication. How can you accuse us of that? You know, it's what you will do. No, we are not. You see, but a straightforward statement from Jesus Christ, they knew what Jesus was talking about. And they knew into their heart that they were doing exactly what their father did. You see, the evil one, because the works were evil. You see, yes. So, we need to do this, and then the third thing is that, you know, after you baptize in Jesus Christ, it is baptism for the remission of your sin. Do you understand that? Alright, second chew and burying fire, you understand, huh? It is baptism for the remission of your sin. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ will take care of the original sin. Whatever happened already, God, the bloodshed, Christ will take care of that. But all the sins that we have committed, we need it to be remitted. Okay? But our confession in Christ, we go to water, we die with Him in baptism, buried with Him. It means our old man is, you know, is buried. And the water washed away our sin. And when we come out, the newness of life. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ will take care of the original sin. That's one thing we know for sure. You see? And God will deal with our life. When you come out of the water, He gives you the Holy Ghost. And you feel that you're still, I'm not sure if I'm born again or not. Then you got to go and pray a little bit more. Okay? And ask the Lord, give me a witness. The Bible said the only way that you know whether you're a Christian or not is when the Lord speaks to your heart. Well, our infant said, you know, maybe this thing is a coincidence. Maybe that's a coincidence. A lot of things appear to be a coincidence on that, but sometimes we look a little further in our life. There are a lot of things you think about being coincident was the hand of God dealing with us. Yes. I look into my life back, oh man, there are so many things that happened that look to me like coincidence, but I know it was the hand of God. And there were times when I look, why am I going to deal with it? I'm lost. How am I going to deal with such situation, Lord? And God presented an opportunity. This wasn't a coincidence. Just as this particular scenario that I always remember so well, we were stuck. I was stuck there in Nigeria. You know, with Sister Jenny's father when we were together. We were at the airport and the plane was a small plane and everybody had a boarding pass. But we know, I found them before the plane came that not everyone is going to get a seat. You know, and there were white men standing around, so we were kind of, what are we going to do? So we sat there, don't know what to do. I was just praying, said, Lord, you know, we're not going to stay here in the airport because we do not, next plane come, it's be the same situation. And I was just sitting there praying, meditating, and here came a white elderly lady. You know, probably I was about 40 at that time, before 40, I think. And here was this elderly lady in her 60s. And she came and sit beside us because we were the only Chinese. And she came and sit beside us and said, can I sit here? And she was joyful, she was talking away. And she said, you know, I saw, and I look among all these passengers, you are the Chinese, you're from Asia, so I just want to talk to you. Why did God send her to come and talk to us? And I don't know, she was just chattering around. She said she was a missionary and things like that. She was saying, Then the plane came. The moment the plane came, she started crying. She knows she's not going to get aboard. They already queue up. All these Africans already queue up at the gate already. Is it the only people that don't queue up? The Asians and the white people and this elderly lady? You know? So I was wondering, she's crying and I'm trying to get in and she's crying, she knows she can't get in. And an announcement came. When the announcement came, the ladies and gentlemen, they already opened the gate, people are already moving. Well, this flight is ready for boarding. Economy class, please take the door on your left. If you are in the business class, and ladies, please use the door on the left. Just like that. And the Lord said, go in. And I stood up and I called Brother Patrick, come stand up. He was probably wondering what happened. He said, give me the ticket. I said, lady, give me the ticket. So we took the two ticket. I said, you stand right in the center between the both of us. So we grabbed her hand. This is elderly. See? The Lord give the wisdom. Bring her so that, you know, you strike me. You go in right now. I took that and pushed her. Went to the door, which is supposed to be the first business class, and I couldn't plane actually they got no business class when we went in, there were none. But I don't know why the announcement was there was business class. You know, it was small plane, that's all, you know. So we went in, there was this attendant standing at the door there. I put his street ticket, give to her, we're all together. Okay? It's an elderly, we're all together. You look at me. I just moved right into there. Thank you. We went right into the plane. If not for that, we would have been stuck right there. Because the white man come in and do a thing. When we pulled up from the gate, he was standing out there looking at the, you know, from the glass window. And I was sitting on the window side. And I looked up. And they were looking at me. I said, they're probably thinking, you Asian guy, how on earth did you get on board? But we got on board by the grace of God. It wasn't a coincidence. You understand? It was a guiding hand of God in many times in our life. You don't know. I would have died many times on the road. Twice at least. And one time on horseback in America. If it wasn't for the Lord to draw my attention quickly, I would have been dead 3 times over. Yes, God give us his life for one purpose. To live, to glorify him, to serve him. And I want to thank God for that. Alright, so when we get the Holy Ghost, if the Holy Spirit coming, convict you. You're my son, you're my child, you're my daughter. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that comes and make you realize he's a witness to you, whether you are his child. I cannot say, you are a child of God, you are a child of God. I can't. I only know that, hey, I can call you brother and sister because you confess the Lord. Welcome to the body of Christ here. Welcome to the fellowship. You see? For your own assurance, you need to have that condition. You cannot say, hey, brother, God, I'm a child of God, you know? So you go out there and do anything you like. I'm not going to say you are a child of God. Because I don't know. I only see your fruit. Is that right? When I see your fruit, I say, yes, brother, you're my sister. If I have any denomination, they are my brother and sister, as long as they profess Christ. But as to your own salvation, your own redemption, you need the witness of the Holy Spirit. And once you get that, you can, you know, you are a child of God. Alright? Any moment you get knocked down by a car, don't worry about this life anymore. You are already into the hands of the Lord. You know? You understand that? Okay? So we are thankful for God for that. Alright, let's go further into Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 46. So here we have in the Bible verses, there are many verses in the Bible, for here is just an example. Chapter 10, verse 46 to 48. So when here we have Peter preaching the word of God to the Gentiles, and they heard them, the apostle will be Peter, heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they prayed there him to tarry 7 days. Now in the ancient script, all the time when they mention about water baptism, it's a full name of Lord Jesus Christ given there. But in the translation that we have, it's always they baptized in the name of the Lord, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus they were baptized, right? But in original scripture somewhere, I read about it, that the text itself should indicate clearly that the full name of the Lord Jesus Christ, huh? Okay, in Greek, Yahshua HaMashiach is always indicated as the full name. Okay, so here it is, of course, you see, here was this group of Gentiles and they heard the gospel being preached by Peter. The Holy Ghost came right there and they were speaking in tongues themselves. Already, even before they were baptized, they already received the Holy Ghost. You understand? And yet Peter said, "Can anybody forbid them water?" That is to say that some people say, I'm saved, I don't need water baptism. That is not true. I am saved, I speak in tongues, I don't need the water baptized. That is not true. There is always three things that you must remember. These people who heard Peter preach, they, as they sat there to hear the gospel, they were convicted in their heart, in their heart they were repenting. That's the reason why the Holy Ghost came upon them. You understand that? And that's the reason why now, when Peter knew that sign that they have received the Holy Ghost. And so if you repent, if you baptize in the way the Bible said so, you will receive the Holy Ghost. If you repent, you receive the Holy Ghost first, even before you're baptized. But I remember I did it that way. I received the Holy Ghost before even I was baptized. And I backslid for 2 years. And the Lord pulled me back. And I repented once again, said, "Lord, I'm so sorry for, you know, I went back to the world. I cried my heart out." You see. And I was baptized. Of course, I was baptized in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost and denomination. You know. And that time was back in the 60s, before the message ever was here in Singapore. Though I knew about William Branham and his ministry, I didn't know that he had a message. Then when the message came in 71, when I read it, I saw it right there and there. That's it. We go out to church. I don't wait. You know. Don't wait. And nearly as we leave the church, we get baptized right in the sea. Out there in the seashore in Labrador. You see, we don't want to wait. You see. So Peter said, "Can anybody forbid water?" No. They cannot be baptized. So they were baptized. So Acts chapter 8 is another example right there. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Here we have this Philip and a eunuch. Huh? You say eunuch or eunuch? Eunuch. Huh? Is it eunuch? Eunuch. Nah, he's a utopian eunuch. I mean, he is, as I said, being a eunuch and being, working for the queen of Ethiopia, there must be a lot of live books in the palace. You know, and he's a man, maybe he loved to read about this history of, about what they call Israel.
So it happened to be that he got a book of Isaiah. The scroll.
And remember one, those scrolls are not small. Not the scroll that you have when you are graduated. Look at this one, it's heavy. And he was in a chariot. And he read it. He read it. And you know what? God sent Philip from Samaria to give him a free ride. Now I'm waiting for that. We're all waiting for that. The free ride from one place to another. No horse, no camel. God just took it. One moment here, teleported him right over there. That is not why science fiction follow what the Bible, they try to imitate what the Bible did by teleportation. Okay? Of course they use camera trick and animations and all that stuff. Okay? But this is real. We trust. God took Philip to Gaza. Yeah, alright? A road that you go from Jerusalem down towards Egypt, that's the place. Even today it's called the Gaza Strip. That area. And the eunuch was there, and Philip was transported there waiting for the chariot to come. And here came the chariot, and I don't know, you just mentioned one chariot, probably there were others accompanying him. And so Philip went on board this eunuch, and said, do you know what you're reading? He said, I don't know, how can I understand if nobody tells me what it is? You see, in verse 31, he said, how can I understand except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. So the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall desire his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray you, of whom speaketh the prophet, this prophet? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip began to expound to him. What was the word of Isaiah? What the prophet spoke of? And so when Philip expounded the gospel to him, alright, they were riding on a horse, the chariot was moving very slowly across the desert. And I don't know how long Philip expounded to him. Okay? And then, by the time he finished expounding, then the eunuch, in his heart, he repented. He realized, this is true. I need a savior. Okay? And then suddenly, when he came to the, when he saw a pool of water. Now, the Bible did not say here, anywhere that Philip asked him, do you believe? Do you confess the sin? Do you repent? Nothing. So Philip just expounding him. And something, just listening. And of course, the Holy Spirit is dealing with his heart. And then when he came to a pool of water, then he said to Philip, see, here is water. What do hinder me to be baptized? I don't know whether Philip mentioned about water baptism or not to him. I have no idea. Or because they were in those times, people do baptism, water baptism for certain ritual of cleansing and things like that. And he probably read about the Old Testament, not just the book of Isaiah, but the other Old Testament scripture where they talk about the washing of the water, the sacrifice on the animal was washed and so forth. So he said, here's water. So what do hinder me from being baptized? And Philip looked at him and said, you believe with all your heart? You may. And he answered and said, I believe that the Lord, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stop. And the Bible, you know what the Bible said here in verse 38. Now look into the Bible. There's no contradiction. When you use the word baptism, in the Hebrew, in the Greek word is baptism means to be immersed. So the Bible here even mentioned it. So for anybody who says baptism is not necessary into the water, it's a lie. He says in verse 38, and they commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down, both, into the water. He did not say they go to the water. You know what I mean? No. If he said go to the water, somebody says, see, he go to the water, and Philip just scooped some water and dump on his head. They said, they both went down into the water. What do you mean by going through the water? You go right down. Okay? And both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, and when they were come up out of the water, the Holy Spirit of God then took Philip away. They didn't say, if baptism is not by immersion. In fact, the eunuchs, you're not going to have to say about this food or water. You know, I have a canister of water. I have a bottle of water. I have a jug of water. Come on, baptize me. You'll be enough, isn't it? You say, how foolish is that denomination, not just the Catholic and the Lutheran, even the Presbyterian. Supposed to be good theologian. And yet still doing with springing water. Of course, now they change a little bit. They realize somehow, you know, after maybe some of the elders question the pastor, you know, this is not the right way. And the pastor says, okay, if you want to get all wet, go ahead. I don't know whether I give anybody a choice or not. You know what, Sister Kenji and Brother Infant, you have no choice. Huh? When you come to water baptism, you go into the water. You don't say, I want to be dipped in the water on the head. There's no choice. We all have to go into the water to be buried. Buried our old man, our old self, our old nature. So when we come out of the water, we come out to newness of life. You understand that we become a new creation because we receive the Spirit of Christ. Which the world cannot give you, the peace. Only Christ can give you because He comes and reside with you. He is the Sabbath, He is the rest. You see. That's what makes it so different than being a Christian. Okay, now right, we quickly go to the next verse. We don't read all the others. These are all examples to show you. But let us go to Mark 16:16. Here is a controversial argument by some, Christian and theologian. Mark 16:16. Verse 16, the last chapter of Mark anyway. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believe not shall be damned. Now we're not reading 17 only, which is of course a lot of controversy argument over this. But verse 16, look at it. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. He that believe not shall be damned. Now, you see, the Bible is full of discrepancy, huh? The Bible is a lot of mystic. One moment in John 3:16 say believe and believe the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. But here say you must believe and is baptized, then you'll be saved. You know? So, but there's no controversy. You need to understand what the Bible is teaching. Basically, when the Bible goes out in gospel, it's just one basic word of statement. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes can be saved. If you are a man who is dying, and you're given this last chance, you know, like a thief on the cross, then of course you can't be baptized. Right? Yes or no? Obvious, you see. But if you are still living and you are believing and you say, I don't need to be baptized like the thief on the cross, then it's a different story. That is what this verse then applies to you. If you believe and you are not baptized, then what? The Bible here says, he that believe and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believe not and is not baptized shall be damned. Of course, he that believe not cannot be baptized in the first place. You see? So if you don't believe, you don't need to be baptized. But if you believe, then you need to be baptized. Because baptism is your testimony to your faith. That you are willing to go all the way and believe what Jesus said to do. If you love me, keep my commandment. That's why water baptism is important to us. And that's why even out there in those other religions, among the the Sunnis or the Buddhists or what. When a family is a Buddhist, from a family background, Sunnis or whatever religion, that is not Catholic. When a member of the family, a daughter or a son, you know, became a Christian. They have this idea that, okay, so long as you go to church, okay, don't get baptized, alright? You know why they say that? They think the moment you get baptized, you have crossed the line. You cannot come back, you're finished. You're not part of what we are. That sort of thing. You get what I... Huh? I think you have heard about this, right? Your son is baptized already. Ayah, that's no good. You know, they have all this thing about your old folks. You have that idea. You see? But you believe, but don't get baptized. It's okay. It's alright, no problem. But once you're baptized, they will cry. I don't understand that. But the most important thing is that remember this. The Bible says, believe and is baptized. Shall be saved. Because if you believe and you refuse to baptize, and when the chance is given to you and you refuse to be baptized, okay, and you die and then you stand before the Lord,
What are you going to answer the Lord? Huh? You want to tell the Lord, the chief of the court, to get baptized. Are you going to tell him like that? Because the first question God we're going to ask him, if you ever answer him, did I not say, if you love me, keep my commandment? Did you keep my commandment? How are you going to answer? How are you going to answer that? I don't know. You know, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes, you know, if we Christian, if we were to stand before God, and God would ask us some questions, how are we going to answer those questions when we know the answer was already there in the Bible? And we are just as stubborn and not want to do it. Refuse to do it. Huh? Isn't it serious? Oh, Holy Ghost, Holy Communion, I mean, the Communion. Holy Communion now. You know, that doctrine that's being propagated? Huh? Put washing now. But the Lord commanded that this thing to be done. Huh? You know, until He comes. We do the Holy Communion is to remember His death till He comes. Has He come yet? Oh yeah, He has come. That's what this group say, He has come. Oh, what do you mean He has come? Oh, He has come in the Word, in the presence. I said, we all know that. He has been already, Jesus has never left His church. Throughout every church, He has never left His church. Do you know that? I'm not talking about organization. I'm talking about the little flock. He has never left them. And they have continued to take what they call Holy Communion and doing foot washing. So now you are saying the Lord has come, the Word has come. Or you are playing with the Word because you are talking about the end time message because the way Abraham spoke of it, you don't even understand what it's all about. Do you understand parousia? No, they don't understand parousia. That's why there is a problem. You see? His coming, His presence. There is a two kind of, you know, when we talk about the coming of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is one thing. His epiphany is another thing. And His acidosis is another thing when He appears right before you. Epiphany, we know He's coming in the cloud of glory. That's right. There are different words used in the Bible to show what is the form of coming. Do you understand? You see? Oh, we can say somebody came here, if I invited the minister to come to Singapore, you know. And, let's say he's landed in Singapore right now in the airport. He's come. Right now. He's come. But he's not here. But when he entered here, the Bible used the word idosis. Another form of word. It means you can see him now. So there's a lot of different things about usage of word. As a parousia, it's only a word that is nothing to do with bodily presence. Huh? When you couple it with another Greek word called soma, okay, then it is the body present. Soma parousia. That means a physical present. I sort of use that. If my physical presence is there, then you know. Then you see, I will use sharp words. You see. Alright? So, remember that. Let us go to another one. And Romans 6, and Romans 6 here. Here, in chapter 6 of Romans, here he's talking about the identification with Christ. Alright? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. What shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein in sin? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? So that's why when we go into water baptism, we are being baptized together with Him in death. Okay? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also shall we walk in the newness of life. So when we come out of the water, we are resurrected to new life. So we walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. That's why water baptism? Because of the significance, You mean our being identified with Christ. You got it? That's what we call identification. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, when we go to the water, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Of course, when you die, brother, if you are died now, physically you died now, you can't do anything, you cannot sin anymore. Right? When we are alive, in this mortal body, there's still temptation, where we are tempted, sometimes we get upset, so, we do, being taken off guard or frustrated, we commit sin like this. Okay, we fall into sinning. But when our body dies, we cannot. There's no way, because you're no longer alive. So in this spiritual meaning, that when we are buried with Christ, we are considered dead. So we are free from sin. Now if we are dead with Christ, we believe that we also will live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, die no more, death have no dominion over Him. When we are died to sin, once and for all. Now if you die physically, you cannot die anymore. Am I not right? So he said that if we die once, we will live twice. If we die twice, we'll live once. If you do not die now, of course if I die now spiritually, then I will die this dead body, then I will live once again into the Lord forever. But you see, the people who are not dead in Christ now, they will live again and come before the Lord and then cast into the lake of fire and die another time. You see, the second death. So it's important what the scripture says we need to follow. He that is dead is free from sin. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, die no more. Death have no dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lived unto the Lord. Likewise, reckon ye yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in the mortal body, that you should obey it in the last thereof. Neither you your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but you yourself unto God as though they are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. Alright, then let's go over to let's see now, we have another verse of scripture, verse 1 Peter 1:3, and we're going to close. 1 Peter 1:3. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, in order for us to be resurrected in the new earth of life, then we must be dead to sin. And Romans 8:30. Romans 8:30, and I like this one very much, because this verse is very straightforward. Chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, we read from verse 28. We know that all things works together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknown, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is that right? Wow! We are predestinated. Whom He predestined, who foreknown, He predestinated. Those whom He predestinated, He called. And those whom He called, He justified. Those whom He justified, He glorified. What can we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? Everything's already done. He called you, He justified, you know what I mean? Or not? He predestinated you, He glorified you. Yes, we are glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, for He was the glory of God. You understand that? All these things were known of God. God called those things that were not as though they were. Do you have eternal life now? Amen. Do you think the eternal life happened in the moment you die? No, the moment you eternal life happens right now. Do you understand that? It happens right now when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ because He is life. Are you justified right now? Yes. Are we glorified right now? Yes. Because we are in Christ. Only the day will come when we will be manifest to the world. Then they will see the glory of God in us. Because that's the reason why the Bible says the world do not recognize us who we are. Huh? They don't know who we are. You see? But we know each other who we are. But the world cannot see and don't recognize because we are not of this world. Today we are aliens. They don't recognize us. But the day will come when we will be glorified with Christ in His kingdom. Now everybody will know, oh, so these are the ones. You see? Then they will know who we are. Amen? Okay, 1 John 3. Chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are, not we shall be. You got it? Brothers and sisters, are you a sons and daughters of God? Or you think that you shall be sons and daughters of God? No, we are, the sons and daughters of God. And you do not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as it is. Every man that have this hope in Him, purify himself. So you have this hope, you keep yourself clean. Even as He is pure. Whosoever commits sin, transgress also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abide in Him, do not sin, sin not. Whosoever sin, have not seen Him, neither know Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that do righteousness is righteous, even he as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy or undo the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God, do not commit sin, for his seed remained in him. The seed is the word of God. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever do not righteousness is not of God, neither he that love not his brother. So, as a Christian, we do not commit sin. Now, in a sense that we don't deliberately sinning. But when I'm not a Christian, I will deliberately sin against God. Okay, but as a Christian, we don't deliberately sin against God. Because if you do, then you are of the devil. You understand? That is not what the Bible said. There will always be temptation and trial. And the temptation and trial is a part and a parcel of God's working in your life. He will put a hurdle before you. There will be something that will come before you. The devil sees the opportunity and he come and present a temptation. God doesn't tempt you. You understand that? God allows the devil to do what he wanted to do. Remember Job's case? Huh? The devil complained to God about Job because you bless him, you know? That's why he loves you. The devil said, God said, you think so, huh? The devil said, okay, let me present something to him. I said, go and try him, the king. If you think that you can bring him down. So God allow what the devil would do. Present certain thing and we'll be tempted. You see one thing. This is one important thing. You have to fight this battle. The battle will always be around. The battle will reach. You understand that? And when you fall, okay, you repent. And you get up. You learn from that mistake. That's not why how soldiers learn. Huh? But in fact, I learned from what happened recently. That's one thing that we learn. So certain thing happens, then we remember how to be on guard. You see? And we confess our sin and we go on. You see? We may fall into it, but we don't deliberately commit it. For he that sin against the Lord is not a child of God. You understand that? We thank God for taking care of our sin, and we know if we commit everything to Him, He will. His promise to us and the blessed hope that we are waiting for will surely be manifest in days to come. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for the very truth of eternal life that is promised in Him and in us all here today that confess the Lord Jesus and who have received the Holy Ghost. We know, Lord, we are Your children. We are thankful, Lord, for the grace and mercy that You so graciously, Lord, poured upon us.
to see all this that your handiwork, oh God, in the life of bringing back the lost souls unto yourself. We count it, oh Lord, a blessing and a privilege, and even what we are, what we were before, you have seek us out and call us by name as you redeem us, O Lord, back to yourself through the shedding of the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We truly, Lord, love you and thank you. And Lord, even as we dismiss from here now and go to the water baptism, we commit the time to you. Asking, O Lord, for the blessing for the rest of the day again in Jesus' name. Amen.